Will Lowry, welcome back inside the game, man. I hope you're well.
Absolutely. It's great to be back. It's been a while, Ryan.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. What are you up to down in Mobile? Give us an update.
Just down here working, trying to make a paycheck and pay the bills each week, I guess. Wasn't quite as fortunate as most of my old teammates who checks are coming in a little bit larger numbers up there in the NFL. But down here just working for a private equity group focused in real estate and learning more every day and, just waking up with a smile on my face every day.
Well, no doubt about it. And that's one of those things that I'm sure you look back now and, you know, I hope you wear the jewelry because you were able to capture a lot of it in Tuscaloosa. And I'm sure many conversations involved the day as you try to spread the message that you're talking about. Everybody probably wants to pin you back and say, let's talk a little Alabama football. What's it really like to play for Nick Saban? And for those of us that or for those of our new listeners out there that have never heard Will, we featured Will quite a bit in our show and had a chance to have a lot of interaction. And, you know, I go back, Nick Saban. He's the best coach in college football, and he continues to prove it by winning a lot of games, even though that didn't happen in 2013.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I thought it was really funny, the bits and pieces that I heard from Media Day, with Spurrier kind of taking some shots earlier in the year and trying to backtrack and cover up some of them. But really, it's just kind of funny to me. You can tell they're all just frustrated because of the recruiting that he's able to do in all areas across the country. And just the success that he's had, you know, you can just tell it's starting to get to some of these guys and they can't hide it.
Well, you look at Nick Saban, that's the reason why he wins games. He wins games on the recruiting trail. He goes out, and a lot of it's just work ethic. I don't think he blows the smoke that some of these coaches blow. He doesn't promise playing time. It seems like a lot of coaches, that's their strategy. But he just works harder than a lot of these coaches. Up, sun
yeah,
up, sun
absolutely.
Down.
You know, he and I'll say that's probably a big reason why we lose some of the recruits we do is because he's not going to sit there and tell every single one of them that they're going to come in and start day one. You know, he tells them, you know, we're pretty much, we've got a lot of guys that are competing at every position every year. And, you know, some guys are intimidated by that and they'd rather go somewhere and be a big fish in a small pond. But, you know, it speaks more to the recruits that we get who are willing to come in and compete. But, yeah, it's like you said, I mean, most of it just goes back to work ethic. It's just an entire organizational thing from the top to the bottom. There's so many staff and guys up in the front office and the back offices that do so much due diligence on these guys and watch tape and film and, you know, talk to these guys and call them up and find out their background and stuff. So, you know, not only the phenomenal job of hard work that Coach Saban does himself, but also the way that he's been able to get everyone on that staff to buy in and do the exact same thing and emulate that. It's a tremendous success for all of them and something to celebrate every year when they get the recruiting classes that they do.
Well, when you chose to walk on, you had scholarships offers from other places, correct?
I did. I had a couple, just one Division I, though.
But you chose to walk on, and I go back to this little small thing of player development. How did Nick Saban make you a better player?
You know, it's like I say, it's an organizational thing from the top to bottom. He's a perfectionist. And he demands the very best from every single person on the field. You know, a story I always tell is one day in practice, we were out there going through a walkthrough before practice even really got going. And he yelled at one of our managers, poor ball boy, spotted the ball on the wrong hash. And Saban lost his straw hat about it and let him have it and gave him some words and, you know, gave it to him pretty good in front of everybody. And I was kind of feeling bad for him. And the very next play, he turns around and I guess we ran a play on offense that he didn't approve of. And he let Coach Mack have it right in front of the whole team the exact same way. So, you know, it runs downhill and it doesn't matter who you are. No one is exempt. He'll certainly let you know when you've done it wrong, but you know that just goes back to the program that he's built and the attitude that that he's implemented here and the atmosphere that he's created. It's a machine and it's a well-oiled machine that's running pretty well right now.
And it will continue to run. If we look at projections, and this is something we were talking about yesterday. looking at long-term Alabama, because I'm seeing an energized, fresher Nick Saban. I watched SEC Media Days. I've covered him since he got off the plane here in Tuscaloosa. I covered the bad, the rotten years of Alabama football, and then where the dynasty is current day. And you took a little bit of a break in 2013. But I just see this fresher, newer Nick Saban that's energized. And I'm not saying that it starts with a loss, but something about him. He hates to lose. And sometimes I think as far as hating to lose, it's like another magnitude. He enjoys winning, but something about just losing, he lets it beat him up, and it looks like he's energized himself throughout the offseason.
Well, you know, it's just, like I say, he's a perfectionist, so exactly like you said, you know, he hates to lose any game, you know, any time. And I think ending the season the way that we did just really lit a fire under him, and not just him, you know, but he knows that it lit a fire under our team because, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, that's been talked about many times, a bunch of our younger guys, they just really don't know what it's like to lose because we do it so infrequently. You know, everyone's just used to winning every game and showing up and showing up with, and getting a W. And so, you know, I think he's excited about the fact that not only he, but the entire team and organization have something to prove.
I'm looking at this team, and I'm not trying to go back, but I go back to his national titles. You lose two games at the end of the season. He bounces back somehow and wins a national title. So I want to walk you back to 2008. You lose to the Florida Gators and Tim Tebow inside the SEC championship. You go to the Sugar Bowl. Well, I think it's pretty fair enough. We're far enough removed. Alabama didn't have an interest of playing Utah in the Sugar Bowl, or am I wrong?
No, we didn't. And I will say, though, that losing Andre Smith to, you know, agent contact and, sure, and Mike Johnson going down early in the first quarter with an ankle, you know, that really hurt us offensively. And we just got jumped on so quick, you know, it was pretty much over before it started. But, you know, you're right. It starts with the fact that we didn't show up the way we should have and start the game like we should. And that's because we didn't have the right attitude about it.
So then you bounce back and you go through that complete offseason and you end up back in Atlanta to open up the season against Virginia Tech. And you were ranked number 5 in the country. Everybody thought Alabama was a team that would be a contender in 2009. You ran the table with one of the toughest strength of schedules in college football. But it sort of opened up that everybody, it seemed like that frustration of the offseason was allowed to open up against Virginia Tech. And you guys went on an amazing run with momentum.
Yeah, and, you know, it goes back to the Florida game the year before, you know. Like we've been talking about, Saban's just a perfectionist. You know, you win 10 games and do everything right, but then, you know, there's still just a little, a couple things that we had to correct and get right the next year in order to get over that hump, you know. So that was kind of the rallying point, I guess you could say, where the fourth quarter program really took hold, you know, because we had that game won after three quarters, and, you know, Tebow went into Tebow mode and pretty much, you know, made his name on us that year. But, yeah, I mean, that was really the rallying point, you know, just to prove to everybody, look, you know, we can do everything right all year, but if you can't win in the fourth quarter in the 12th game of the season, then you're not going to make it. So that really, you know, inspired everybody and was the point that everyone knew we had to get to, and not just get to, but then overcome the next season. So, yeah, I mean, all offseason it was just working for that point, and when it came, we were ready for it.
I go back to 2009. I want to go back to Tennessee just for a couple of minutes because that was a close game, and there's a game that, you know, that head coach by the name of Lane Kiffin is now here in Tuscaloosa as the offensive coordinator. But you watch them on tape. He was able to put those players in a great position to challenge the defensive guys like yourself. That 2009 game against Tennessee was the closest game throughout the season. Terrence Cody saved the day, saved the championship, went on to have a successful SEC championship. You know the story. Go back to that Lane Kiffin offensive side of the football. What did they do to sort of challenge Alabama's defensive unit?
Well, you know, that was kind of a game for us that came in a little bit of a lull of the season. Tennessee had not really been challenging us in any way to that point in the previous couple years. And, you know, I think we were a little bit beat up from just the wear and tear of the season. And they just kind of caught us. You know, they had a good game plan. They ran a lot of quick game on the outside. And they were able to get some of their bigger receivers inside of Kareem and Javi at the time and Marquise and You know, I think that was that the year they had Hardesty running around back there. I mean, he was a great back. Tennessee's always had great running backs. You know, they don't get too much attention in college, but then you look up, you know, and they got the Arian Fosters running around, the Bryce Browns running around. You know, they had some talent, and that just speaks to Coach Kiffin. You know, I'm kind of indifferent towards them. I was a little bit surprised by his hiring. I think it had a lot to do with shaking up the offense, putting some new things out there, and also a lot to do with recruiting. But like I say, you know, I think that says a lot about Coach Kiffin. You know, for him to be able to come in and bring a team that had no business competing with us to put them in a position to win the game in the last play, that's just a phenomenal job on his part across the board.
We're talking to Will Lowry right now, a walk-on at the University of Alabama who earned a scholarship and walked out of here. Will, help me out, man. Players run together. How many championships you walk out of here with?
I had two. I was there from 2008 to 11. So the first one we were just talking about, 2009, and then my senior year we went out on a high note.
Well, for some reason, I was trying to put you in 2012 also, but my bad. I'm making you older or younger than what you really are. Will Lowry right now inside the game on a throwback Thursday. Let me also talk about the talent at the wide receiver position. As a defensive back, how does that make you better when Alabama, probably top to bottom, has got the best wide receivers in all of college football?
And it does wonders for you. I mean, when you go against those day in and day out through the off season, 7-on-7 spring training, you know, just routes out there, going against those guys and just competing against the best and going against that speed and that size every day, you know, you get you just get more used to it, you know, so you're not as caught off guard, I guess, when you face some of the elite level of wideouts that you'll see in the SEC. And, you know, it started with Julio and those guys. You know, I always wonder, you know, what a guy like John Parker could have done if he had the talent around him that we have out there today. I mean, it's just amazing, the talent that we have at the skill positions on offense right now.
Will, let me talk about Jeremy Pruitt for a couple of minutes. You know him. He coached at your high school. I think also here at the University of Alabama. Then he went on to win a national title at Florida State. Now he's back in the SEC at Georgia. What would Dog fans expect from Jeremy Pruitt?
You can expect, if nothing else, his absolute best. That guy was put on this planet to coach football. You know, a lot like Coach Saban, maybe not from more of a head coach perspective, but from a relationship with the players and a defensive game planning and a real hands-on regard. You know, he's as good as any. I mean, I remember when he left. You know, he coached me at Hoover from my freshman year through my junior year, and then going into my senior year, you know, he left and was like, you know, guys, look, it's a chance for me to get my foot in the door. You know, he was just a player, director of player development or player personnel or something like that. But, I mean, he was exactly right. You know, he got his foot in the door and started proving to everyone around there, and specifically Coach Saban, you know, that he had the football knowledge to be able to contribute on the staff. So, when we had a spot open up on the defensive staff, Coach Saban gave him a shot. He ran with it. And, I mean, you know, the rest is history. I mean, the guy's just it's almost kind of like a walk-on story, oddly enough, you know, that he kind of got, you know, just a very small chance, and he latched onto it. And he's ridden it to the success that he has today. So I just couldn't be happier for him. That's great to talk to him every now and then when I do. We have a great relationship. You know, I mean, he coached me every day for basically 7 or 8 years, so it's just been awesome to watch. And you know, when I talked to him when he first got to Georgia, you know, he mentioned they had a lot of their good talent leave in the draft this year, but you know, at the same time, he does a great job of kind of like we were talking about with Coach Saban earlier, just implementing an attitude. You know, he knows what it takes on the defensive side of the ball to win the game. And it starts with the very basic stuff that you learn when you're, you know, a kid out there. It's just toughness and effort. And so I think Georgia fans can expect, if nothing else, they can see guys in those red jerseys flying around and hitting people.
I look at a quote on your Twitter account. By the way, you can connect with Will Lowry. It's JWLowry29 and some of the things that he's involved in there down in Mobile. We got a lot of listeners that listen to us via the internet down in Mobile, and we get a lot of phone calls as well. So if you can connect with Will Lowry there on the Twitter account, be one of the 16.5 thousand followers that enjoy interacting with Will as a former player. But I go to the quote that you've got here, and it really sort of hit me a couple of minutes ago. It sounds just like Nick Saban. Everybody wants to win, but are you willing to do what's necessary in order to win? Is that a Nick Saban quote?
You believe it. That's something he used to harp on all the time, and it just really rings home for me. If you ask anybody on the street, hey, you want to be rich? Well, yeah, of course I do. Hey, you ask a bunch of kids out there on the field, y'all want to win this game? Yeah, absolutely. That's why you're there, right? But it's not about wanting to. Everybody wants to, It's not about wanting to. It's if you're actually willing to do what it takes and what's necessary in order to win, do all the little things and all the effort things that it takes to put yourself in the position and be ready when the time comes. It's something that translates to every aspect of life. So that's something that I tell myself every day. You got to get up, put the hay in the barn.
Will, I'm also looking at the Twitter account. When's the big day?
The big day is December 13th. I am getting married to my high school sweetheart. We've been together for about 7 years now, and we got engaged. Oddly enough, we got engaged the exact same night as AJ and Catherine in the exact same place.
Are you serious?
It's not a joke. I had her family and my family come down and had them waiting at Fisher's Restaurant down here in Orange Beach, and Marlo and I had big grandeur plans for the actual question that kind of got scrapped thanks to the weather down here, which is pretty much rain every day. And so we ended up walking around on the pier down there and got down on the knee and asked her to spend the rest of her life with me. And when we walked up in the restaurant, it was pretty funny. AJ's dad was standing there, and they were waiting on AJ and Catherine. So it was really funny.
Wow. So did you give any advice how to do it or anything? I mean, did you coach him a little bit?
Nah, I didn't need to. Once I saw the piece of hardware on Catherine's ring finger, I knew that he had a little bit of an idea what he was doing. but fortunately for us, our engagement didn't come with a reality TV show or anything like that. So we've been enjoying the process, and we're certainly looking forward to and can't wait for the day to get here.
All right. I'm going to harp on this. There's a walk-on at the University of Alabama that's been a very successful head coach. He almost a very similar path to what you took at the University of Alabama. He walked on, earned a scholarship. His name? Dabo Swinney. Is there any chance that Will Lowry will get into coaching? Because I just, your personality, the way that you drive, the motivation, man, you would be a great high school coach and to work your way up and possibly even a college guy one day.
Yeah, matter of fact, when I came down here and took the job that I'm in today, I came down here and met with my boss, my current boss, and I actually met with Coach Kevin Scherer on the same trip. He was at the time the defensive coordinator for South Alabama, another guy that coached me at Hoover and kind of followed a very similar path to Pruitt. Was at Hoover and then kind of got onto a staff role at Alabama and worked his way onto the field as a coach, and as a matter of fact, I believe he's joined Coach Pruitt up at Georgia right now. But he had me come down and was kind of offering for me to coach the DBs, and just kind of said he needed somebody that knew the system and had the attitude and could help him implement the environment that it took to win. And I came down and met with him, and believe me, I would love to. I absolutely love the aspect of teaching the game to the younger guys and watching them develop and watch them, grasp it and have success after failure and grow as players and people. And certainly something that I would love to do. But to be honest with you, the lifestyle that those coaches have to live is pretty rough. It's tough on the families. It's tough on the kids. Benny and I roomed together when he was a freshman and I was a senior for most of our games in the hotel, and I remember him telling me that he moved, I think he said, like 8 or 9 times before he graduated high school. Obviously it's not it's something that a lot of people can live with, obviously, but that's just not something that that's just not the lifestyle that I wanted to put my family into the mix of. And there's a lot of reasons I could go on and on about, but it is definitely something that I thought very long and hard about.
Will, thank you so much for helping me out. Man, I know this was the longest 15 minutes of your life, man, but I guess it was great to catch up and obviously connect some of the loose ends. But we'll continue to talk to you. Hopefully you can help us break down this national championship run in 2014. I really appreciate you helping us out and give a unique perspective to your playing days here at the University of Alabama.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it, Ryan. Anytime, man. Just give me a call.
Absolutely. Connect with Will Lowry on the Twitter account, and thank you so much. Will Lowry on a Throwback Thursday presented by Brian Harden Construction. Hey, the 100,000-pound rigger lift available, locally owned company that's been a part of our community for a number of years, 265-ton crane available, the I-beam. Coach Stallings always talks about the I-beam. That's available. It's fabricated there. Trust Brian Harden Construction.